It's Triple M Breakfast.
Another day is underway.
Live from just around the corner, this is Lee Faulkner.
And welcome to our Breakfast Show podcast catch-up. This is where you get to either revisit some of the things that you want to hear again, maybe catch up on something that you might have missed, and also get some exclusives right here on the Listener app, because I will also bring you the full chat that I have with some of our guests that we don't get a chance to play on the show. And we've got a couple of crackers for you coming up. Aussie acting icon John Waters, the full chat with John, which just such a career, absolutely amazing. We will have a revisit of Topical Topics, the Smelly Boot, Linda Kaur's, our dog whisperer, along to give you some great advice, particularly keeping your dogs happy through the colder months, which always so important. People's First, that's our Heritage Bank here in our region and across Australia, and they have a wonderful community fundraiser, which is underway. And as well as that, we kick it off with the full unedited chat with one of Australia's rock icons coming to Toowoomba, the Empire Theatre, when I caught up with Ian Mossy Moss. Well, it has been decades as far as making incredible Aussie rock music, whether it be with his beloved band Cold Chisel or an incredible solo career, and now another album for us to get around as fans, and a massive Australia-wide tour sees Ian Moss coming back to the Garden City. We cannot wait to have him here in town, and that will be coming up on the 27th of April, and Mossy joins us for breakfast this morning. G'day, mate.
Lee, how you going there, mate?
Oh, mate, excellent, and thrilled that you're coming back again. Congratulations on this new album. We'll get to that in just a moment, but I've got to say, thrilled about you doing a version of a Taylor Swift song. I've been a fan of yours since I was since 1980, since I was a 10-year-old, and I've followed your career the whole time. We've spoken many times on this show. I've got a 15-year-old daughter who, with her mum, went to see Taylor Swift, and when I was able to say, "Have a listen to this. Have a, this is the bloke I've been telling you about all these years." And she was like, "That's cool. You're cool, Dad, finally." So thank you, mate.
Glad to have helped, mate. Yeah, no, that's a lot of fun, actually.
Did you, I mean, were you familiar with, obviously you knew who Taylor Swift was, but were you familiar with her songs before being approached by Triple M to get involved and have a bit of fun with that?
Not exactly across the board, but yes, certainly. You couldn't help but hear plenty of young Swifty on the radio.
Oh.
I mean, it was great to have listened through and picked that. That was definitely my pick of the bunch. Style. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with all that.
It was brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant. And so too is this new album. And the single Nullarbor Plain off Rivers Run Dry, which now you and co-writer Troy Cassadaly being nominated. You got a nod there for, I think, one of the most played rock songs, which is just incredible. And of course, wasn't that long ago that we saw Troy teaming up with Barnsley, co-writer of Shutting Down This Town. So you got a bit of a common denominator there with your little mate Troy.
We do. In fact, it goes back to even the No Plans album, Cold Chisel's 2011 album, a song called Big Old Car. And it was Troy Cassadaly and Don Walker writing together there.
That's right.
And, I've got I've got another song called I'm Going Back on the Rivers Run Dry album. And before that, a song which won awards at the country, a song called South, we wrote together, which won awards at the Country Music Festival a couple of years ago, and I won my first golden guitar.
Wow, isn't that fantastic? Of course, you were on the stage with him here at one of the Red Hot Summer Tours and doing some stuff as well around this part of the world, which was just wonderful to see. Now, when you get this sort of talent that you write with here, I mean, Jay and Mark O'Shea, who, of course, are just from up the road in Dolby from us here, the song Bury Me that you co-write there, with Lily Lozotte, of course, Diesel's daughter, whether it be Don Walker or Troy, how do you go about that songwriting collaboration? Do you throw ideas at each other and sort of eventually come out with a song, or do you have the rough bones of a song and they provide? How does that work?
more often than not, you got some rough bones. And for example, would say on the Rivers Run Dry album, that one of the songs with Troy is called "I'm Going Back," and that's one I've had the music and just an idea that would be called "I'm Going Back," and what the song was about for a long time, but just couldn't get my head around the lyrics. Troy's a brilliant lyricist. He absolutely nailed that. Same with another song called "What Can I Do." It's another situation where I've got all the music and I took that to Don Walker, who, you know, if he likes the music, he'll have a crack. So more often than not, you walk into a room with at very least a very strong idea. So listen, I've got this melody I just love and it's in my head and I've got to work it into a song. Give me a hand. And, that's how it works. It's done from a completely empty, walking into a room with a completely empty slate. It's very hard to co-write that way. You've got to walk in with something, a strong idea at least.
Okay. Rivers Run Dry, the title track there, and there's, you've got a couple of co-writers on that one there. Why the Rivers Run Dry concept around the album and the title song off there? I mean, is it a nod to the land and the you know, what's been happening in Australia?
It has in a lot of ways. It's kind of almost accidental because it really started with the title track "Rivers Run Dry," and yeah. that was written for I was born and raised in Alice Springs.
Yes,
and I always kept friendships with mates who never left there all these years. And 3 or 4 years ago, a childhood mate of mine, we went to kindergarten together. He suffered a serious big stroke, and at the commencement of writing the song, I wasn't even sure it was going to pull through at all. So that was me just deliberately trying to, I was going back to those memories, particularly when we were a kid. There was some massive drought there in Alice Springs for 10 years.
And yes. You get these,
the big dust storms, the big massive red clouds of dust come just whooshing through the town where you couldn't, it's only for a few minutes, but you couldn't see your hand in front of your face.
Goodness.
The red dust was that strong. So that's where I was. And so it's just a double thing, mate. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of coming back from serious strokes, so your river's going to run dry. So just double entendre there with the outback and dry Australia. And, that's how the whole Australiana imagery for the Rivers Run Dry album started.
Well, I see that you said of the album, it's a great sort of, we've got rock, we've got Latin, we've got funk, we've got country blues and unapologetic pop. And I think it delivers on all of that. There's so many great songs on this album. And of course, when you get out on these tours, you get to, show off some of that new stuff. And of course, all the great classic stuff that people know. I noticed too that you're doing a couple of shows in the UK, and I know it's not the first time that you've been over there. Do they get it? Do the UK, to the Scottish and the London audiences, do they know the history of Cold Chisel and your solo career? Do they get it, or they just come along because it's great rock?
A bit of both, mate. I for the first time, I've been going back and forth a bit with doing solo acoustic, but July last year, June, I took a band over, and it's a good mixture of folk that there's definitely a very strong awareness of both cultures and its individual members. Adelaide has sold out the London gig quite easily, and I'm happy to report that it wasn't just wall to wall expats. It was plenty of pommies. So happy that I finally turned up. same with Glasgow. So going back, doing London and Glasgow again this year. Glasgow went down beautifully last year. Really looking forward to that one again.
Well, you're certainly not shying away from doing the venues. I mean, this tour has been going since January and continues all the way through until June, and you pretty much touch on every corner of the nation. You must have seen so much of this country over the years that you've been doing this. Is that a big part of what you love about what you do?
Yeah, Mark, I'm a bloke with permanently itchy feet. I do lots of driving on my touring, and I'll sort of deliberately take a different route to each time just to Yes, amazing. I mean, so many fantastic little towns we have in Australia that are, and they're all great towns. We've all got great coffee. They're, you know, Australia just leads the world with coffee, and we lead the world with steak. And so, you know, that's all I need.
Yeah, 100%. And I reckon we lead the world when it comes to singer songwriters and good old fashioned rock and roll. And you have certainly been a part of that. So I say, as a fan of Cold Chisel since 1980, I've just loved the music that you've been a part of, and a part of the soundtrack of my life up to this point. And looking forward to having you back in our beautiful town Saturday, 27th of April, at the Heritage Bank Auditorium. Get your tickets to go and see one of our absolute legends, Ian Moss, the Rivers Run Dry Tour. Mossy, thank you as always for your time, and thanks for bringing your music back to our part of the world.
Mate, Lee, looking forward to getting back to Toowoomba. It's a beautiful town, beautiful part of the country, and I'm ready to rock it with the Rivers Run Dry album.
Did you hear about...
I'm not sure I agree.
864 Triple M's Topical Topics.
You can't say that.
Thanks to Lily's Artisan.
Thank you to Lily's Artisan being a part of Topical Topics, and also to our guests that joined me in the studio this morning. A regular guest for many years and a former Triple M staffer, Emma Quaney. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Lee.
And Joe Capp, of course, who we spoke to recently about Hope Horizons and the Jenny Black Cancer Wellness Centre. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Oh, and thanks for being a part of this, your first go round. So, we'll be gentle. We've got a couple of things that we need to talk about. And the first of those, one of the story that nobody could avoid, the horror that came out of that shopping centre in Bondi, and of course then the link to our hometown, and then we started to see media outside the family home of the young perpetrator of this crime, and just, I think many people, I was horrified at the way these people were being grilled and questioned, as if for some reason they were puppet masters around the behaviour of their child. And Quaney, I don't know about you, but I'm simply saying, as a community, I think it's time that we let those outlets that are doing that sort of journalism know that we don't want that. We don't need you to go that far to get us the story.
Yes, I mean, I don't know how much that's got to do with the story anyway. These people weren't involved, and I don't think we can accept it. That's just the way it is now. That's the way the media works. That's journalism. I don't think we should be accepting that. Not at all. And I don't think it's fair to the family. I don't think it's fair to the whole neighbourhood. Was just chaotic, so I heard.
Could you imagine living next door?
And what exactly are we trying to get from these people? What are they going to say?
Some sort of admission that we did something wrong, that do what we did because your children will go and do this?
Yeah, what's the magic? What are we looking for?
I mean, it's just ridiculous. But Joe, is it, a little bit of our own fault? Because as a society, we have craved these sort of salacious things. We go and we buy en masse these magazines that take the photos long distance of people nude and doing things. And we love the stories of somebody who has, been caught with drugs or whatever it might be, and we just immerse ourselves in this. So are they just playing into what we have told them we want already?
I think so, Lee. I think at the moment we seem to be a community that, or an entire nation that seems to thrive on the drama of sad things and terrible things that seem to be happening. And the more that we actually go towards it, it's an actual fact that the more people that follow what we have to say about these things actually gives us an opportunity to get more followers and be more... So for those people that are actually got accounts on their social media and things, if they've got these stories or these great photographs or these communications with these people, they've got nothing to do with the story. It actually can build their personalities and their profiles on their media platforms. And I think we're using negativity as a platform grower in the wrong way. We need to actually go back to basics and realise, hang on a sec, do we really want to watch this or do we really want to see this? And just turn it off.
And that's
because
what we need
it's
to
just
do.
Not right.
Yep, that's what we need to do, and that's exactly why we are talking about it this morning in Topical Topics. And I appreciate both of your comments there. We are joined by Emma Quaney and Joe Capp. We're going to do a little bit more after this one. Triple M. We'll move on from that one. Big thanks to Lily's Artisan. We are doing Topical Topics here this morning. Look, this one, I mean, obviously nowhere near as serious as what we've just been speaking about, but tell you what, it does cause some pretty serious issues. And it's around reserving things. Now, it might be a car park in Grand Central. When it gets busy and someone hops out and stands in the car park. I'm sorry, I'm a no. I'm just going to put it out there. And it's the same when you go to the beach and then you see all this gear on a picnic table, but there is literally nobody around. You look, there's literally nobody around. They've just brought down their gear. Then they've gone back home again. They come back in a couple of hours' time to have a party. I'm saying it's first in, best dressed when it comes to this. Jo?
Totally agree. I mean, I know that it is an Australian custom to put dibs on something and bar it.
Dibs as we used and to bar.
Do. Oh, yeah, remember yeah. we used to bar things at school? Oh. That's mine. I barred it. No, you can't do that. Oh, my good Lord. I mean, you could actually walk in there and put your tablecloth and like on something onto a table. You could do that a week beforehand. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, come on. Then? What is the exactly. limit? I mean, yeah. how do we get past that? I mean, come on. Grow up, people.
That's what I reckon too. Buy yourself a table and you can put it up later on when you get there. Yeah. There's none of those tables left.
Or you've got to get there early and stay there.
That's what we
exactly.
do.
That's what you've got to do.
Yeah.
And so standing in a car park thing, mate, no car park. You can't just stand in it.
What are we going to bring around our own little witch's hats and just stick them in the place and say,
right.
no, I barred it. Yep. I barred that car park 3 weeks ago.
Yep. No car, no park, no party, no table. See you later.
Yeah. Move on.
There it is. It's sorted. We have sorted them out. Thanks to Liz Artisan. And a big thank you to my guest in here this morning, Emma Quaney. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lee.
Jo Cab, you did very well first go round. I hope you'll come back and do it again.
Thank you. I'd love to.
Wonderful. From Hope Horizons and the magnificent Jenny Black Cancer Wellness Centre. Go on and check out this incredible facility that we have available for us here now.
Brilliant goal. Your favourite footy tipsters are back. The Smelly Boot on the Darling Downs Triple M.
And we say a very good morning to Gov. G'day, mate.
G'day, guys. How we going?
Very well. Paul Solidrini from K&R Plumbing Supplies in the Western Clydesdales. Good morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, man. How are we today?
We are good. We're ready for round 7 of the NRL. We've got 8 massive games to talk about. We kick it off with Thursday night. Although, Gov, I think that Solid, he might have been thinking it was Wednesday night football. We know how much he loves a Monday night game because I got the tip yesterday in the text message like we normally do on the Thursday. And I'm thinking, hang on, does he think that game's tonight? Nonetheless, it is tonight and it's Allianz Stadium. Sydney Roosters taking on the Melbourne Storm. Hard to separate them according to the bookies. How are you going to separate them, Gov?
Yeah, well, look, since Solid was over there in the Las Vegas launch, he wants footy every night of the week, I think, so yep. We'll see what happens next year. Yeah, look, both sides weren't overly ordinary playing last week and winning. Big Solomon is back for the Storm. Although the Roosters are improving, I'm just going to go the Storm on the back of a big forward clash set up because of Big Solomon being back.
I'm also on the Storm and Solid. You think the Roosters are going to get the cookies tonight?
Yeah, I do. Lucky, you know, you guys love picking on me. Lucky I have no feelings, hey, you know. But because I get invited to a lot of stuff and you both can't get to the opening of an envelope.
That's true.
You know, you feel a little bit left out. But I am going to go with the Roosters. I think they can upset the Storm tonight. I'm really looking forward to seeing that clash as well.
That'll be a good game. This, too, is shaping up to be a good game. The St. George Illawarra Dragons releasing Lomax to the Ultimate Team. Well done to him, making a great decision there. Wynn Stadium, and they'll be hosting the Warriors, who do go in favourites. We'll get to Gov in a minute. Do you think the Warriors or the Dragons solid?
Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be a tough game. I'm going to go with the Dragons. I think I actually like the way, with the Warriors. I like the way they're playing a little bit at the moment. I don't want to put the kiss of death on the Dragons again. Gov's breathing a sigh of relief, so we'll go with the Warriors.
Well, you won't have to worry about that because I'm tipping the Warriors. But, Gov, you reckon the Dragons will get the job done?
Yeah, look, Warriors at full strength, and as you said, they're firing. Dragons are going to be without Jack Burt Friday night. Tough match, but I think the home ground advantage might just give the boys the 2 points.
Okay, TIO Stadium, then we go to Darwin, and don't the Eels love playing in Darwin? 8 o'clock, that is happening tomorrow night. Favourites, though, up against the injury-rattled Dolphins. Look, I'm going to back the Eels. I'll get to Solid in a minute. Gov, what are you going to do to us?
Yeah, look, well, the Dolphins, they've got to travel up to the Eels' home ground. They're coming off a loss against Brisbane, and they're going to be without the Hammer. Pretty tough assignment. I'm thinking the Eels in a really tough game.
Oh, God. All right, Solid.
Well, you know, I tipped them last week against the Cowboys. I always stick
I did too.
True to my side. So I'm going to go with the Eels, even though they don't do any good in Darwin. I think they will have enough firepower to get over the Dolphins this weekend.
Okay. And then this one, look, I don't think there's going to be much to talk about here. Winks odds, Penrith Panthers up against the West Tigers. I'm on the Panthers. Solid.
Yeah, I'll go with the Panthers too.
Gov?
Yeah, let's put the curse on them.
All three on the Panthers. So, sorry, Wade, you'll have to carry the full weight of the Smelly Boot. We've got 4 more games to talk about, and we'll get to those straight after this on 864 Triple M. You're on the Smelly Boots, the tips to avoid this round. And joining me is Gov and Paul Solid Rudy. And we are talking rugby league, the tips that you probably should avoid given our form. This game, it's the Titans at Cbus Super Stadium up against a very informed Manly Seagulls. I'm on Manly, Solid. Which way are you going?
Yeah, I think the Titans are unlucky to lose last week. It should have been a penalty to them in my account, but Manly played really well. I'm going to stick with them to be over the Titans.
Solid as a rock with the former association there. Gov, who are you on this one? Oh, he's absolutely back.
Expect nothing less. Look, the Titans, they went down in the thriller last week to the Raiders. This is a tougher game, and yeah, I think Manly get the money here.
Well, we're all on them. Okay, then what a juicy clash this is shaping up to be. 7:35 on Saturday night, and it is the Broncos and the Canberra Raiders coming out of Suncorp Stadium. This will be fantastic. The Raiders have been, up and down as they always are, but they're out there to hurt sides. Are they going to hurt the Broncos, Gov, do you think, or will they get the job done?
Yeah, look, the Raiders struggled to a golden point win last week. Brisbane are at home and the G, they're playing really well. Could they get the 2 points in this one?
Oh, okay. Now, I'm going to say the Bronx as well, so it's up to you. Are you going to help the Butcher out this week? Solid?
Long-time friends of the Butcher, so I'm going to go with the Broncos, mate. We'll put the curse on them. I think the way the Raiders played last week, and you're right, they do grind out a win.
Yeah.
And they're pretty tough, but they're just not convincing for the full 80 minutes. And I think the Broncos are starting to build again. I reckon they'll be a bit tough for the Raiders.
Okay. The Newcastle Knights have been letting me down a little bit, but they come up against the Canterbury Bulldogs. We obviously heard that the association with the Clydesdales is coming to an end because they're sick of Solid tipping against them, is what I've heard, Gov. We'll get to him in a moment now. I'm going to stick with the Knights. I'm going to stay with them. What's your thoughts, Gov?
Yeah, look, both sides lost by 2 points last week. This is a toss of a coin game. Knights depend on Kalen Ponga, as it showed out glaringly last week. I'm going to go off the Dogs at home in a tough game.
Okay, he's on the Dogs. What are your thoughts, Solid?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Dogs too. You know, I love the Canterbury Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah. You've been backing all the way.
Yeah, with them. But when it finishes on June 30, I'll take it. I'll go with the Dogs. I agree with Gav. I think in a tough one, they'll just get up over the Knights.
Okay. And then final game of the round, the Cronulla Sharks. They've been on fire. North Queensland Cowboys be disappointed with the loss last weekend, but it was to a great side. So what are you going to do? And which way are you going to go on this one, Gov?
Yeah, you said the Sharks have been on fire. They're top of the table. They're at home, and I think they beat the travelling Cowboys.
I'm going to stick with the Sharks as well. Solid?
Yeah, I'll put the curse on the Sharks as well. I think they'll be a bit tough for the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. So the Cowboys, every chance there now. Thank you, boys. Enjoy the rugby league this weekend. After my 11-year-old dog started showing signs of a bit of arthritis and it got really cold last Saturday, I thought we'd better speak with our dog whisperer, Linda Cause, to find out if this is something we need to be considering, particularly if your dog is getting a little older.
Yeah, absolutely. And also the rapid change in temperatures. Like, we've had really hot temperatures and then we've gone to being quite cold. So they haven't had a chance to grow their winter coat. But also with your old dogs and even the young ones, very much like us, they have more trouble regulating their temperature. And also with the older dogs, their coat's getting thinner, much like my hair. And so they're feeling the cold more because they haven't got that coverage. And just like us, they get aches and pains. And, that's affected by the cold as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that might be like a little bit of, arthritis sort of thing, that sort of thing. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. I mean, very similar to us as we age. We're more prone to temperature changes. We're more prone to pain and, the way that affects our pain and all of those sort of things. So we have to be, it's great. You read your dog and it might have taken you a little while.
It did, absolutely.
But now you know.
And see, the other thing, and I hadn't picked up on it, was, again, he was just sort of being a bit tentative about jumping up onto the lounge where he'd normally just bounce straight up and make himself comfortable. He was a bit tentative about it, and he even had a false start and sort of half jumped up and didn't quite make it, then just walked away. And I thought, we're going to have to get one of those little steps or whatever to help him up on the lounge. Now, but that also seemed to be because he was cut. We put his jumper on him, and now he's bounding all over the place like a pup.
Yeah, so perhaps you know, his muscles and his bones and everything were getting cold and, you know, get stiff in the cold weather, just like we do. And it was just a bit too hard for him to do it. But having seen that happen, perhaps you would, you know, consider giving him some supplements if you haven't already to help with that. You know, his bone health and his joint health and all that sort of thing.
Okay. So what sort of things can we look at there?
There's quite a few different products on the market. It's very similar to what we take. You know, you can go a natural alternative. You can go more of a vet line thing. But, you know, there's a lot of different joint supplements that we can give our older dog. And even for younger dogs, it's not a bad idea to start those supplements before the spine starts happening so that as they age, their joints are in the optimum health.
All right. And obviously a jumper or a jacket or something along those lines to help out with that winter coat make a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially for short-haired dogs. Like one of my dogs, she's very short-haired. She's got like hair like a boxer.
Yes.
And she's got a coat on already. Like she rolled up a couple of nights ago and went, okay, put the coat on. I'm too cold.
Well, it is something for us to think about, particularly if you've got the older dogs, but even younger dogs as well, as the temperature drops. And as you mentioned, Linda, that rapid drop too, which has meant they haven't had a chance to fill out that coat, get the winter coat on and get themselves ready for the cooler temperatures. Keep an eye on your doggies. And if you need those supplements, yeah, definitely have a chat with your vet. Linda, wonderful advice as always. Linda Kors from Kors and Effect Dog Training with COT. Thank you so much for your time.
Not a problem, Lee.
We got all the details for you on how People's First, formerly Heritage Bank, is helping our local community organisations.
Good morning. So lovely to be here to talk about something that helps so many community groups.
And that is so wonderful because, you know, we know these organisations, when you talk about local sporting groups and community groups, they run on the back of volunteers. They normally run on the sniff of an oily rag. And you're giving them an opportunity to be a part of this. Tell us a little bit of how this works.
Look, I just want to make a quick mention that in March 2023, Heritage Bank and People's Choice Credit Union merged. And, you know, both organisations have a very proud history of doing good in our communities. And this feels like a very logical extension of that. So it's really important to say that, look, participating groups pocket 100% of every $2 ticket sold. And that's really important. There are 52 prizes this year worth over $300,000. And the first prize is actually a Toyota Kluger hybrid vehicle, and that's valued at a touch over $63,000. But there are lots more prizes as well. What we ask you to do, if indeed you're a local sporting group, a school, charities, volunteer groups, or any not-for-profit community group around Australia, go to our website, which is www.communitylottery.com.au. You simply register there and answer a few questions. There's some FAQs on the website if you need some additional support. We'll process that and we'll send an email back to you saying, you know, that you can start commencing selling on behalf of your charity group. And again, I just want to emphasise every, you know, $2 sold, 100% of that goes back to the participating group. And over time, we've raised nearly $22 million. So we have some experience in this since its inception in 1984. And in fact, we're celebrating our 40th year this year.
It's absolutely fantastic. When you look at some of these, you know, Starlight Children's Foundation raising more than $130,000. The Country Fire Service Foundation raising over $30,000 there. Some 720 groups taking part in the lottery last year. And for the first time, it's now available to those in Queensland, thanks to that merger you mentioned earlier, which is just wonderful. So I will just remind people again of that website, because that, of course, is all important as to where the details are.
Absolutely. www.communitylottery.com.au.
Absolutely brilliant. What a wonderful thing. And already heralding in that name change and doing exactly what it says and what Heritage Bank has been doing for decades anyway in our part of the world. People's First in this community lottery. Well worth going and having a look there if you are one of our local organisations. So Maria Ann Camilleri, thank you so much for your time this morning. This is just a wonderful initiative.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day.
Well, coming up Saturday night at the Magnificent Empire Theatre, this is a two-man show that you are absolutely going to have to go and see for yourself. It's been described as one of the most extraordinary, brilliant, effective spine chillers that you will ever encounter. It's the second longest running play at London's West End behind Agatha Christie's Mousetrap, just to give you an idea how hugely successful this is. And John Waters is going to be starring alongside Daniel McPherson in this magnificent play, The Woman in Black. And I'm thrilled to say that John Waters joins us for breakfast. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Lee.
Now, for you, this is a reprise of a role that you toured in 2006 with Brett Tucker. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. Of course, that then was the first time I'd heard of the show, although it had been running already at that stage for quite some time in the West End. And I was over in London just before I rehearsed for that show, and I went to see it, and I could see how it worked on an audience. And nothing has changed, certainly. When the opportunity came up to do it again, I jumped at it because it's a fabulous workout for an actor. Both roles, the two actors are, we are busy the whole time telling the story by acting out scenes, also pieces of narration. The lighting and the soundscape are really intriguing, and it's a show that has a big reaction from audiences, and that's always a great thing. You know, you can do a very serious drama and go through the night without really hearing much from the audience, except hopefully they clap at the end. But in this one, you hear them quite a few times throughout the show, usually in the shrieking reaction to some moments in the show, because it is quite suspenseful.
It must be brilliantly written because, normally you go and see a show. We went to see Cinderella not that long ago, the big production there at the Empire Theatre, a cast of over 100, and there's stage settings and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And there's just the two of you on the stage that captivate people for that entire time. So, It must be so beautifully written, this.
We're on a stage which is representative of a theatre that's not currently in use. There's just some stage gear lying around and a few bits of furniture and a few props and costumes in a sort of disused state. And the two men utilise this to improvise a storytelling play within a play, if you like, of events that happened some time ago. But then, of course, the whole theatre suddenly, once the story is underway, does become alive with the soundscape, which is fabulous, and beautiful lighting effects, and so it is a ghost story. It's not a kind of ghost and Mrs. Muir. So there's nothing particularly fun about the ghost. There's some quite lurid and evil sort of supernatural things going on, the full details of which don't get revealed to the end, so I'll avoid spoilers. But there are moments which are achieved by the good script, which creates tension. I mean, sometimes you lead people to expect something is going to happen and it doesn't happen. Then the next time it does happen, and there are lots of theatrical tricks by way of giving people a fright on stage. It's much the same as a horror movie, except we don't have the luxury of sitting back in an editing room and making it happen that way. We have to do it live every night. So it's fun and a challenge.
Absolutely a challenge. And I'd imagine, too, that there's a different dynamic, because actors tend to sort of interpret a role and a character whilst the script is there and the narration around it is there. But the interpretation from each actor can be different. So they're changing.
Yeah.
From working with Brett and having that repartee, and now with Daniel, you must find that refreshing to sort of get it underway and do it all again, almost.
Absolutely. I mean, it's long enough ago that I don't really remember the full details, of course. But having to learn the text all over again. But Daniel's fantastic. He's got a very, very natural adaptability to stage work, which he's done quite a bit of, although most people know him from his screen acting, I suppose. But I know he's great, and he and I have a good working relationship, great friendship, and it's coming together really, really well. I mean, I think that there's progress whenever you do something, you know, more than once. There's always a sort of little progression. Ah, yes, now I see how this really works. And, you know, it's a revelation to me and very much a new experience for me.
You continue to, you know, gather new experiences around you, and you certainly haven't slowed down in any way, whether it be TV, whether it be movies, The Rooster last year, you know. And
yes.
Boy, your role in one of my favourite shows, and it's a little while back now, 2016, in Rake, as Edgar yes. Thompson. Oh, gee, I just loved what you did with that. Yeah. Absolutely one of my favourite shows. But you just keep popping up in these great shows that I love. Mystery Road, you're there. Doctor, I'm watching. There you are again.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
It's really been, you know, it's been a good ride for me. I've been fortunate in my career, and I think my move from England to Australia when I was a very young man was a great move. It was a very vital entertainment industry here. It has its moments when it dips a little bit. COVID, of course, hit us quite hard.
Yes,
but we're on the way back from that, and the Australian product just seems to get better and better. And the stage experience, of course, is something that will just never go away. No matter what is happening on television with the streaming platforms, etc., the live theatre is still there, and I'm glad about that.
Absolutely, and so are we. And very thankful that you did make that move and that you've been a part of our lives. As someone who was born in 1970, I've known nothing but having you on the television from play school as a kid right through to all of these amazing shows that you've been a part of, and the movies and the stage plays. Looking Through a Glass Onion as a Beatles fanatic, you have brought it all alive to me. So thank you for the entertainment that you've given over the decades, and I cannot wait for this particular performance coming up Saturday night. John Waters, Daniel McPherson, The Woman in Black. It'll be absolutely stunning at the beautiful Empire Theatre. John, as always, an absolute honour and a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Lee, and thanks for such a great rap. I shall attempt to live up to it for the audiences at the beautiful Empire Theatre. It's a great place to work.